Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 5. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 5. Verses 4 and 5. Luke chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Our subject this afternoon is launching out into the deep. Launching out into the deep. Well, we come to this passage in the Gospel according to Luke. And this presents to us, two things in particular. Here we see the Lord Jesus Christ beginning to call his disciples to himself. You all very well know that the Lord Jesus Christ ministered for 3 years. He preached about repentance and faith, about the kingdom of God, how we must enter into the kingdom of God while there is yet time, a preaching ministry of 3 years from the age of around 30 to 33, we believe. This was the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, it was accompanied by great miracles and great signs showing that he was truly the Son of God, not just a prophet, but the Messiah, the Savior, the one who had been promised in the Old Testament, God with us, the eternal Son of God, equal with the Father. And the Lord, well, he had 12 disciples. And this account offers details of how he calls his first disciples to himself. And so we read in these verses how that came to pass. And we also note that the preaching of Christ was attracting many people, even at this stage. Even before he had called all of the disciples to himself, the Lord, because of his teaching, because of his miracles, well, there was a great multitude that were following him. At the beginning of the chapter, we read that, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And, such is the scale or the crowd of the people. He has to go into a ship or a boat standing by the lake, a ship which belonged to Simon, the disciple, who would be the disciple. And he prayed him, asking him that he would thrust out a little from the land. We read in verse 3, and from the ship he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Well, what a glorious sight that must have been. What a tremendous thing to see. All the people on the shore and the Lord Jesus Christ teaching them out of that ship, out of that boat. But then, well, when we read the rest of the account, it's not just about the Lord's teaching, it's about his personal encounter with Simon. And he says in verse 4, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught, for a catch of fish. But Simon says in verse 5, Master, we have toiled all the night. They've been working all the night to catch fish, and they've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Peter protests initially. He's toiled all the night, but he obeys. And that's something that we will pick up on a little later. He obeys the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 6, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Well, we were thinking about the Lord this morning, how the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Well, this is another example, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ, he commands Simon, put down your net, And well, when Simon obeyed the word of the Lord, look at the great multitude of fishes. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And their net break. And well, the Lord again shows forth his power. He is the one who brings that harvest of every kind. And we won't go into every single detail at this point of this account, but we note that the Lord Jesus Christ says to the disciples, to Simon and all those who will follow him, that they will be fishers of men. And that was one of the reasons why the Lord Jesus Christ showed Simon that a great catch of fish. Because Simon, when you follow me, when you obey my word, when you do what I have commanded you to do, you will be fishers of men. And you will gather in so many, more than you ever dreamed. Because it was pointing to their vocation as disciples and apostles. Through their word, they would be fishers of men. And the number who would ultimately be gathered in would be so many, the nets would break. But let us just look at some aspects of this account, and we'll try and apply these things evangelistically and learn from these things about the gospel message and about how the world responds to the gospel message. Well, we read in verse 4, the Lord Jesus Christ's first instruction to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Simon must, if he is to have any hope of catching anything, he must launch out into the deep, not remain in the shallow waters. He won't catch anything there, only very little. And that which he catches, well, it will only be small fry, as it were. If you want true riches, if you want a big catch, launch out into the deep waters. And well, we can already apply that to the gospel. In order to seek the Lord, to seek the Lord Jesus Christ, to know God, we must not be shallow people. We must have depth. We must be prepared to launch out into the deep. Now, I was just speaking to someone earlier about this, but we do not live in a society that encourages deep thinking. Deep thinking is discouraged. I remember when I was first seeking the Lord, I was asking people, even unbelievers, even my friends, work colleagues, what do you think about God? What do you think about the meaning of life? Why do you think we are all here? And so often the answer that I got back was, you know, you think too much. You're thinking too deeply about life. Why are you thinking about all of these things? About the meaning of life, where we come from and all that. Don't think too much about, don't give yourself a headache, they would say to me. Just think about shallow things. And they'd want to talk about shallow. Let's just talk about football. Let's just talk about sport. Let's talk about what's on TV. Oh, we're going out later. Let's just talk about that. The world just wants to think about shallow things. And it's being encouraged now. Even, it used to be the time when you would watch TV, there was something worth watching. Something that would deepen your thinking. Some documentary or something like that. But even now, the documentaries, the things that used to test you, they're so shallow. Everything's being deliberately dumbed down. People want to remain in the shallow waters, and people are encouraged to remain in the shallow waters. But it's only when you launch out into the deep that you will find the Lord asking those questions. Why am I here? What is the meaning of life? Is there God? Thinking about the world, about the nature of the world, about man. Why is man like he is? Why is there never peace? Why has man never been able to find peace in his time? Do you think about these things? Do you think about the soul? the nature of the soul, your personality, your character, the way you are? Do you think about eternity, about heaven, about hell? People don't really think about these things. They just think about shallow things. And you know, it does us no good at all. I'm sure this is one of the reasons why people are so depressed nowadays. You hear about people being depressed, even young people. Why are they so depressed? Because life is so shallow. It's so empty. It's so meaningless. There's nothing really even to think about. Because people don't want to think about the deep things of God. And so life is meaningless, and people drown in their own despair and the limits of their own thinking. But this is the invitation that we say to people. When people come to East Dulwich for our morning evangelistic service, I'm constantly exhorting them. Open your mind. Think about deep things. Now, we understand, of course, and again, this was something that somebody mentioned earlier today, and well, by God's providence, it's just come to me in this sermon. But some people, for them, it's scary to go out into the deep. Some people, well, if they go to the seaside or something, they will remain in the shallow water, and we understand that. They don't want to go out too deep because there might be something scary, might be swallowed up by some sea monster or something like that. But you don't have to fear when it comes to the things of God. People are so scared about the Christian religion. You know, when we go knocking on doors, I think the reaction that we get most often when we speak to people, it's not actually one of unbelief, it's one of fear. This person has come to speak to me about God. This is so fearful, they start to tremble. You can see the fear in their faces. They're so scared to think about eternal things, about where we go when we die. We don't want to think about that. That's too scary. Keep me in the shallow waters, please. If somebody had knocked on my door to talk about what's on TV, that would have been fine. But not to talk about God and life and eternity. I don't want that. Yes, it can be a scary thing to think about God, but there's nothing to fear. When you read the scriptures, if you venture out to God, you will find him to be ever kind, ever gracious. There is mercy with the Lord. There's nothing to fear. If you come out of your comfort zone, leave your comfort zone, there's nothing to fear. And seek after the Lord and learn about Christ and know about his salvation. Leave your shallow life behind and seek out the Lord. That is what we must do first of all. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ instructed and said to Simon. Launch out into the deep. You can't stay in the shallow waters and sustain yourself. Launch out into the deep. And let down your nets for a draught, for a catch. And then let's look at what Simon answers the Lord Jesus Christ. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Well, again, we learn, as I mentioned earlier, Peter had been out fishing for hours. They had toiled the whole night and caught nothing. But now, well, now it's different. Christ is with them. Christ is instructing them, and well, we all know what happens. When they go out the second time, then they enclose that great multitude of fishes. And again, we can apply this evangelistically. We can see the contrast between a life without God and a life with God. A life without God, you will toil all the night and take nothing. That's a life without God, a life in which you spend your whole life working hard. And, you know, unbelievers work hard. It's not just Christians who work hard. I know unbelievers who work hard. And in fact, they put some Christians to shame. They're working so hard. Their employers demand so much from them. But the great tragedy is this. They will toil all the night and take nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nothing of any great value. Nothing for their soul. Nothing for them to give them hope beyond the grave. You know, sadly, I know people, even very close to me, when they get old, when they get to a certain age, they're just full of bitterness. They're full of anger at the world. They say to themselves and to you, they say, what was the point of me working hard all my life? I worked my finger to the bone to raise my children, to do this, to do that. And now what have I got to look forward to? I've toiled, it's like Simon here, I've toiled all the night, I've taken nothing. I'm absolutely dejected. There's nothing to look forward to. That's the life without Christ. Dear friends, well, I hope I'm not speaking to anybody who has that attitude. The life without Christ, giving yourself for the world and gaining nothing and taking nothing into eternity. Remember the words of the Apostle Paul, 1 Timothy 6, verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Even if you do achieve many things in this world, even if you are rich and famous, you can take none of that with you when you go. You will die, and you will have to stand before God and give an account of your life before a holy God who hates sin and will judge us, who must punish sin. And you will have no defense if you don't have Christ. You will most surely have toiled for nothing. But dear friends, if you obey the word of God, that's what Peter did. He obeyed, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Peter obeyed. He could have just ignored Christ. Who are you, he could have said. You're just a stranger. You're not even a fisherman. I'm not going to listen to you. I know better. He could have ignored Christ. He could have argued with him or laughed at him. He could have said, you're mad. But he obeyed the word of God. And this is what we must do. How many people, they hear the word of God and they ignore it, or they mock it, or they argue against it. They think it's madness. They will receive nothing from the Lord. Only those who obey, only for those who obey, there is an abundant reward. And what a reward there is. And I must move quickly. I will let down the net, said Simon Peter. And verse 6, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And we read later on that other ships had to come and help. And well, the catch filled both the ships so that they began to sink. And this is the point I want to make. That which Peter obtained because he obeyed the Lord was far more than he could ever have imagined. Far more than Peter could have imagined. Well, this is what the Christian life is like. Do we understand that? The Christian life is far more than you ever could have imagined. You know, people nowadays, they always talk about chasing their dreams. They want to chase their dreams and live out their dreams. But you know, the Christian life is doing things that you never even dreamed of. It's exceeding abundantly above all that you could ever have asked or thought. Things that you never dreamed of. I know many people, and I'm sure there are many people here. They will say to you, when Christ came into my life, that's when my life changed. I did things that I never thought I could have done. I didn't think I'd be able to teach a Sunday school class. Me, a teacher? I didn't think I could do that. Or an evangelist knocking on doors. I was too scared to go up to any stranger on the street, let alone knocking on doors. This is beyond my wildest expectations. And this is what the Christian life is. You have that which is so abundantly above all that you could ever have imagined. If we obey the Lord, don't go chasing after your dreams. They're so limited. In fact, people who go chasing after their dreams, they often find it to be a nightmare. How often do you hear about people who are rich and famous? They're living the dream. And then they end up in rehab. They're hooked on drugs. They're alcoholics. They're gambling. The dream has turned into a nightmare. Dear friends, this is utter foolishness. Turn to the Lord. Obey him. And you will have more than you ever dreamed. This is what is presented to us here. The fullness, again, we remember, of God. It's only God who can give us that glorious fullness, not the world. But I might have to come to conclusion very soon, but I want to just point your attention very briefly to Simon Peter's reaction to all of this. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, the great catch, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Well, look at that reaction. "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Why does Peter say this? Well, because he knows he is not worthy to be in the presence of the Lord, to be in the presence of his Savior, his Messiah, to be in the presence of the living God. He's not worthy. "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." He's convicted of his sin. And he humbles himself. And well, just very simply, this is how we come to Christ. This is how we obtain the fullness of Christ's salvation. Not by saying, "Lord, here I am. I'm a wonderful person. Make me a Christian because I'm a good man and I'll be a very good Christian." No, that's not how we come to the Lord. "I am a sinful man, O Lord." A sinful man. "I'm not worthy to be a Christian. I'm not worthy of a place in heaven. I deserve punishment for my sin. I deserve hell." That's what a true believer, a true seeker will say. "I deserve to be punished for my sin." But the glorious thing, of course, is if we confess our sins to God, he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins. And this is what we see here. Peter, by saying, "I am a sinful man," he was not cast off by the Lord Jesus Christ. He was taken to be a disciple, to be an apostle, to be greatly used and blessed of the Lord. These are the people that the Lord will use, those who are humble, those who confess their sins. They will be blessed. They will be forgiven. They will be sanctified. They will be glorified. They will be with the Lord forever. Humility. "I am a sinner. Forgive me, O Lord." So this is the point. It's only when you admit you are nothing that God gives you everything. "Nothing but sin have I to give. Nothing but love shall I receive." That's how we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how we are blessed. So, dear friends, this is my message. I just wanted to bring out very briefly those points, those evangelistic applications from this glorious account. Follow the instruction of the Lord. If there is anybody here, anybody listening or watching, follow the instruction of the Lord. Launch out into the deep. Don't be a shallow person. You must seek the Lord. You must know whether he is real. You must know his salvation. He is real. He is willing to save. And he will save you when you come to him in the manner of Simon Peter, falling down at Jesus' knees. I am a sinful man, O Lord. The Lord will receive you. The Lord will bless. Well, may these meditations be a great blessing to you this afternoon. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, Lord, how we thank thee for thy word. O Lord, how glorious thy word is, how clearly we see the gospel in thy word. And Lord, we thank thee for Christ Jesus, our Saviour. We thank thee for all that he has done for us. We thank thee for the mercy and the grace that is known through faith in him. And dear Lord, help us that we may truly have a hold upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to put aside all our pride, to humble ourselves before the living God, to confess our sins, that we may truly know the riches of his grace, the fullness of his salvation. O Lord, be pleased to bless each and every one here and all those who hear this message. Lord, we ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.